hope you can all hear me. Anybody can't hear me? If you can't, just wave a hand at some point. And when time is up, Mike, I've said you've got the bell, so please just knock the bell for us. And today it's a privilege for me to be with you, to share with you on your Mission Sunday, and to bring a message to you. This evening we'll do a little bit more about the Veritas ministry, and we'll actually do a worked example from the course, exactly the sort of thing that your friend, what's his name again? Tarjan, thank you, is doing in India. So you will actually see a worked example of exactly the sort of thing that he's doing there with his colleagues in India, just to give you a little bit of a flavor. And as that ministry of Veritas is really all about getting the word of God out to the world, you could say that really that's what mission is all about. I want to talk today, yes, obviously about mission, that will be an emphasis, but this key aspect of it, which is getting the word of God out to the world. So I want to talk to you today about the wonder of the word of God from Psalm 19. If I asked you what kind of a world do you want to live in, what kind of a world do you want your children, your grandchildren to live in, I wonder what you would say. If I asked you what kind of a church do you want to be part of, and if I asked you what kind of a person do you want to be yourself, deep down in your heart as we're gathered here this morning, your hopes, your longings for your own life personally. If I said you could be wise, you could be joyful, you could be discerning, you could be an upright person, you could be a wholehearted worshiper, you could be truly a committed follower of Jesus, what would you think of that? Would that be attractive to you? Is that important to you? Does that already stir something within you saying, yes, those are the things that I want in my life? I hope they are. And I think the word of God itself is offering that to us. But I also have to say to you that that's really hard to be such a person, to be such a faithful follower of Jesus. It's always been, by the way, from the very beginning. In the early days, of course, they threw Christians to the lions. They're not doing that in Great Britain anymore. But the whole atmosphere in our society is not conducive. It's not going to help you. It's not going to lead you in that direction. In fact, quite the opposite. As we see, almost on a daily basis, our society moving away from its Christian heritage, sliding into a kind of humanism, secularism. The word for that really is paganism. That's the atmosphere mostly that we live in Great Britain today. So to be that kind of person that I'm describing, that the Bible says we can be and God wants us to be, that's hard. That's a challenge. That will involve lots of struggles because we live in a world which largely has rejected the word of God. That's the problem. But that's also the mission that we have, to get God's word out to the world. You're having a Mission Sunday. I hope every Sunday is a Mission Sunday. In some churches, they have a Bible Sunday once a year. Again, I hope every Sunday is a Bible Sunday in your church. Getting the word out to the nations, and we've had a wonderful taster of that and the flags I'm fighting with here as I bring you this message this morning. That's great to do that, to have a taster of that. But let's not forget our own nation. Let's not forget the church. Let's not forget our own lives. And all those beautiful qualities that I'm talking about, wisdom, discernment, it's all summed up in being a disciple, a true follower of Jesus. I do think that in Psalm 19, it talks about the wonder of the word and how those qualities can be accessed and become real and spiritually authentic in all of our lives here today, but it only comes through the Word, Psalm 19. It only comes for those who take God's Word seriously, those people who take it in and who live it out. And I think in Psalm 19, and particularly we're looking at verses 7 to 9, I mean, there's no way I can look at all of these verses now, but I'm going to make a start, and when the bell rings, you know, the service is over. But in verses 7 to 9, I think we have the most complete and condensed treatment in the whole Bible of the wonder, the importance, the power, and the sufficiency of God's Word to bring about all those qualities and all those characteristics and all of the things that we long for, we need, we desire as true Christians to be followers of Jesus. All those things are in those few verses. Now you might say to me, oh, well, if you want that, you should look at Psalm 119. Well, yes, but I did say condensed, didn't I? The most complete and condensed. If you want me to speak in Psalm 119, I'll happily do that. I'll come back again. But, you know, you need to give me a few days to work on that one. I've got a few minutes here today. So let's look at Psalm 19, verses 7 to 9. The theme of this psalm is obvious. It's about divine revelation. It's about God making himself known. God revealing himself. He does it through the world, through nature, through the universe around us. We've touched on that. And that's the first half of the psalm. But then from verse 7 onwards, we change gear, but it's the same theme. It's still divine revelation. Now, God not revealing himself through the world, but now revealing himself through the Word, the law, the Torah of the Lord. Different name for God. At the beginning, it's God. Now it's Yahweh. This is God's special covenant name. This is supremely the name of God in the Bible, the name that he gave revealing himself to Moses. Remember that in Exodus 3? And all the way along, the Lord, capital letters, Yahweh. So this is God revealing himself in a very special way to those people who are his people, those who will come to him, those who will believe in him, trust in him, submit to him, follow him, his covenant people. And this is his law, his Torah, his revelation, his word to us who are his people. In these three verses, it's easy to read it and skip over it and move on, but in these three verses there are six statements about the Bible. And in each one, there is a special, unique title given to God's Word. There are the attributes of Scripture, what they are like, what characterizes God's Word. And then there are those six benefits, those six qualities, those six characteristics, things that we can have, things that we can be, things that we need to be fully, truly God's people in this world, to be people on mission, to fulfill the mission, the Great Commission. My friends, we won't do it without the Word and without being this sort of people. So like I say, there's six of them. I think I'll probably get through two, and that's fine. And I can always come back again if you want me to, but there we are. Let's look at the first one, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. Here we see Scripture as divine instruction. This is Torah. You've maybe heard that word. It means instruction. It means teaching. The picture is of a father. Here we have our heavenly Father. And we are his children. And we come and we sit at his feet. And he teaches us. He instructs us. He opens his heart. He opens his mouth. He speaks to us. And he gives us everything that we need to know about everything we need to know. Now, that's how I see the Bible. I don't know about you. I believe in the Bible. We have everything we need to know about everything we need to know. Now, of course, the key word there is need. We don't have everything about everything in the Bible, but everything you need to know to be a Christian, to become a Christian, in the Bible is everything you need to know. And you might say, everything? Come on, that's a big claim. Is that really true? Well, look what it says. The law of the Lord, the Torah of Yahweh, God's revelation of himself written in the Word of God, the law of the Lord is, what does it say? Have you got your Bibles open, by the way? Some of you are looking at your phones. I hope you're not sending emails to your friends. But you've probably got your Bible on your phone. Thank you. So the law of the Lord, it says, is perfect. Now, that's an amazing statement. What does that mean? Not perfect as opposed to imperfect, but perfect, complete, as opposed to incomplete. That's the sense of perfect. Now, I do believe that the Bible is perfect in the sense that it is without sin and error and corruption. I do believe that. But that's not quite what's being claimed here. This is perfect as opposed to being incomplete. In other words, we have the complete revelation written from God of everything we need to know about everything we need to know. And we sometimes use the word perfect in that sense, don't we? Even colloquially, we talk about something being fit for purpose. It's complete. It gives us everything we need to know for the purpose that we are about. For example, if you have a box of tools and you're doing some DIY, have you done that recently? Maybe a door's flung off because you give it a good kick and you're a bit too fierce and you need to put the door back on, and you've got your box of tools. And that box of tools is perfect for the job of rehanging that door. It's perfect. Not in the sense that it's sinless, sinlessly perfect, but it's absolutely fitted and appropriate, and it's got everything you need to do the job. It's perfect. Or you're doing some cooking now. Susanna was cooking for us over the weekend, and we had a wonderful toffee apple pudding. I'm still living off the goodness of that, actually, from last night. And we had a wonderful meal. And there she was with the BBC website in front of her, and she's doing the menu. Now, that menu was perfect for the purpose of making that pudding. Not sinless, but everything you need for the job. It's perfect. Now, the Bible is not only perfect in the sense that it's sinless and without error, and I do believe that, but also it is perfect in this sense. The law of the Lord is perfect to fulfill God's purpose for his people, which is what? The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. That's why we have the Bible. That's its supreme purpose. That's God's supreme purpose in our lives, reviving our souls. Now, that word, you've probably got different Bible translations in front of you, and you'll be familiar with some of the other ways of rendering this word. It could be translated restoring the soul. Anybody got that? It could be translated, the older versions say, converting the soul. Many, many different ways. God's word is wonderful, isn't it? It's multifaceted. Even individual words you can lift up to the light like a diamond, and it shines, and you see so many facets and shades of meaning. And this one word, reviving, is a most extraordinary, beautiful word. I would use the word to sum it all up, transforming. Transforming. Do you like that word? It's a good one, isn't it? And it kind of captures and gets the sense of the multi-sided word that we have here. That God's word, the law, the Torah of Yahweh, is perfect. It contains everything you need to know. It is perfect. It's complete to do the job that God has ordained it to achieve, which is transforming the soul, the real you, the inner person, your heart, your soul, your mind, who you are on the inside. And God's word, the Bible, has got the power, and God has said this is what it is designed to do, to totally transform your inner person, your inner being. Now, here we are sitting in church today. By the way, this thing keeps climbing. That's where we are. Can you hear? As long as you can hear, that's all that matters, really, you know. I'm glad about that. I quite often, I did say to the sound engineers, I don't think you'll have a problem with me today. And so often, I mean, this is a little point for preachers now, and people speaking in church, whoever you are, and sharing, so often I go to churches, and it's usually little old ladies who come up to me, and they say, I enjoyed every minute of that. Not because they even necessarily understood a word of what I was saying, but they heard it all. I mean, what's the point of communication and preaching if you can't hear it? Anyway, often come back off my soapbox. This is the point. This is the purpose. This is the power. This is the wonder of the Word of God, that it can bring this total transformation of the inner person, the real you. Here we are in church today. Maybe you think to yourself, I really want to change. I really need to change in my life. If you could see what's going on in my heart and in my mind this morning, I don't know whether you'd even want to talk to me. I need to change. I've got problems. I've got sins. I'm burdened by these things I want to get rid of. I want to be a real Christian. You know, I come to church, I sing these songs, I hear all this stuff about mission and getting the word to the world. I need the word in me. I want to become a real Christian. I want to know Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to be sanctified, to become more holy, more like Jesus. That beautiful man, that perfect man, we'll never be perfect, but that's the goal. We want to be more like him. And I want to get to heaven. I hear about the glory that's to come. I want to be there. I long to be there. My friends, you can. There's only one way. It's through the Word of God. It's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's through taking the message of this book seriously, believing what God says, acting upon it, coming to Him, taking in His Word, and living it out. Because the law of the Lord is perfect, reviving, converting, transforming the whole inner person in time and preparing us for death and beyond. That's the first one. Okay, well, I think I'll throw in one more anyway. How about this one? Oh, this is a nice one. Yeah, so I'm just preaching on verse 7 this morning, okay? The law of the Lord's perfect, reviving the soul. Secondly, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. This now presents us another title of God's word here is statutes. This has the idea of God being like a witness. Later on at the end, it says the ordinances, the judgments of the Lord. There God is the judge. But here he's the witness. And he's giving testimony. Sometimes we talk about giving a testimony or talking about, and a testimony is things you've seen, things you know, things you feel, things you've experienced. Things that you want, perhaps, and desire as well. The Bible is the testimony, the witness, the statutes of Yahweh, the Lord. It is God himself. He's doing the testifying. And he's telling us who he is. That's the main subject of the Bible. It's God. It's who he is. It's what he requires of us. God wants certain things of your life. He makes certain demands on your life. And they're all here in God's word. You can't know them any other way. There are his warnings if we don't. There are his promises if we do. The law of the Lord, here are his statutes. Divine witness, divine testimony. And it says, the statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. Everything God says, you can trust. God's word is trustworthy because he is trustworthy. You see, you cannot really separate the word of God from the God of the word. If you begin to drive a wedge between those two things, you will have chaos and confusion and destruction in your life. And this, of course, is what happened in the church, in the history of the church again and again. God's word is God's word. So it's like the God who gave it. He is utterly trustworthy, and so is his word. So you can rely on the Bible. You can rely on what God says. Follow it. Obey it. Do it. Whatever God says. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy. And if we do, then an amazing thing, many amazing things, but in this particular verse, an amazing thing happens. It's not just that we have the Bible and, you know, someone stands up in church and speaks to you and you think, oh, that's quite nice, and we agree or disagree and we go home. It's not like a museum piece under a case. We go to the British Museum. Oh, look, there's a Bible in there. That's interesting. Very historic. Yeah, I like the Bible. No, the Bible is to be heard. It's to be understood. This is why the Veritas course is so important. It gives people understanding. Why did you frighten them off now with that big funny word, exegesis? Nobody's going to come back tonight now. But all it means is getting right understanding. So we have to study the word. We have to understand the word. But ultimately, what's it all about? It's to be obeyed. It's to be worked out. It's to change our lives. And that's what this verse says. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. God's word alone can give true, spiritual, divine wisdom. Now, do you want that, my friend, in your life? I hope you do. Now, the Hebrew language, it's a little bit like the Welsh language. It's far superior to English, and I don't know what you're laughing at, but it is actually. The Hebrew and the Welsh are very similar because they're both very concrete languages. And when Bishop William Morgan translated the Bible into Welsh in 1586 or whenever it was, apparently it's one of the greatest translations ever made because of the similarity of the languages. Hebrew is very, very concrete. Here's a fantastic example of this. When it says making wise the simple, the root meaning of that word simple, it has the idea of something being open. It's like an open door, being simple. It's not a compliment, by the way, is it? Because this is a picture of a foolish person, a person who lacks discernment and understanding of the issues of life. And it has the picture of a house with an open door. Have you ever seen this? We have quite near to where I live, one of my neighbors. And almost constantly, the door is open and the windows are open. We have foxes in our area. They get into the homes, you know. I've been burgled a number of times. We've got some naughty people in Hammersmith. Of course, you don't have any in Warwick, I'm sure. And people will just see an open door. And there are drug peddlers in our area. And they're in and out of that house constantly, as, of course, also are the police. And the door is open to anything, everything, anyone, anytime. Would you be happy to have that in your home? Is that a good idea? Have an open door policy for where you live. You see, that's a picture of chaos and a picture of lives that will ultimately be ruined if we go on in that way. We wouldn't do that with our homes, but we're very proud, some people are, to do that with their minds. It's a big sort of, it's something we pat someone on the back for. It's a big sort of virtue in our society if someone says, I have a very open mind. Have that picture of the house with the door open. The Bible says a person who is undiscerning, whose mind is just open to anything, any idea, any experience, that person is simple. That person is a fool, and it will lead to ruin. The wise person is certainly open to everything that is good and true and from God. Yeah, we mustn't be closed people in that sense. We must be open. I sense that you're a nice open bunch here today. And that's good. You're listening to me anyway. Most of you got your eyes open. That's good. You're open. You're open to God's word. But the wise person also knows when to shut the door against things that are poisonous and dangerous, whether it's people or ideas or experiences. That's discernment. That's wisdom. Open to what is good and of God, and being prepared to close the door of the mind against anything that is not of God, that is not true, and does not conform with his word. People will even say to us, because if we take that line, there are certain things in our society that we will disagree with. There'll be certain things in the moral and spiritual drift of our society that we can't condone, we can't accept. We're closing the door to those things. And if I had time, I'd go into some of them. I think you probably know what I'm talking about. And people will say, you're so narrow. You're so narrow-minded. You're a bigot, you are. People have said that to me. Can you believe it? Why? Because, yeah, I am prepared to close the door on certain things which are not of God, which are not good, which are not biblical. But God says that if you do that, actually, that is being truly open-minded, in the truest sense of the word. That is being truly humble, actually, under God, under his word. And that will make you, what does it say? Wise. And you will only get divine wisdom through the divine witness, through the divine testimony, through the statutes of the Lord. Well, my time is up. I only did two of those. Anyway, I was looking forward to it. I've been working hard on this all week, you know. But that's fine. I've thoroughly enjoyed looking at this psalm again, and I'm sure I'll have opportunity to go elsewhere and speak to others on the subject. But as we close, let me just say this as we close. We've just been focusing a little bit on this wonderful passage. Do look at it for yourself later on. Goes on to speak of the precepts of the Lord, the commands of the Lord, the fear of the Lord. That's still talking about God's word. That's to do with worship. The Bible contains everything we need to know how to worship God. That's a key issue in the modern church, you know. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. That's my little section, but I leave that with you. But just to say this as we close, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying in the New Testament. This isn't just some weird Old Testament bizarre thing I've thrown at you today. Paul says exactly what I've been saying in 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and so on. Again, we won't look at it, but I hope you know it, and I would encourage you to look that up. And really, when we think of the wonder of the word, when we think of the power of the word, when we think of the importance of the word, people can't become Christians without the Bible, without the gospel, because faith comes through hearing the word about Christ. But we can never grow as Christians. We can never be those wise, discerning, mature, loving, gracious, faithful worshippers and followers of Jesus without the Bible, without taking this book seriously, taking it in, living it out. We can't do it. We need God's word. And we will never fulfill our mission to the nations or to our families, to our church, and to this nation without God's word. Jesus summed it all up. Probably the most famous verses on mission in the whole Bible. He said, go and do what? Go, he said, Matthew 28, and most people, they say, well, go and preach and, you know, make converts. Of course, He didn't say that. He said, go and make disciples. And how do you do that? Baptizing them. Do you do that in this church? Is there baptistry under there? Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Baptizing them. And then he says, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And that really takes us into the whole Bible. That's where Veritas comes in. I'll tell you a bit more about that tonight. But all I wanted to do today from these few verses, and I've only scratched the surface, is just to give you a little taste again, a little flavor again, a little experience again of the wonder, the power, the importance, and the sufficiency, everything we need to know, about everything we need to know to become a Christian, to live the Christian life, and to be people on mission, and to spread this word and get it out to the world. May God bless you on your mission Sunday. May God bless you every Sunday. May God bless you as a church. And may God bless you in your individual lives. And may the wonder of God's word wow you again today. Amen.